Greetings with grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father, from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this, the Transfiguration of our Lord, is taken today from actually two different places. We will read from the Gospel of St. Matthew, chapter 16, starting at verse 21, and then reading through verse 13 of chapter 17. And then we will also read from 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21. So that's Matthew 16, 21 through 17, 13. Then 2 Peter, chapter 1, verses 16 through 21, where we read in the name of our Lord. From that time forth began Jesus to show unto his disciples how that he must go unto Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and chief priests and scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. Then Peter took him and began to rebuke him, saying, Be it far from thee, Lord, this shall not be unto thee. But he turned and said unto Peter, Get thee behind me, Satan, thou art an offense unto me. For thou savorest not the things that be of God, but those that be of men. Then said Jesus unto his disciples, If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whosoever will save his life shall lose it, and whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. For what is a man profited if he shall gain the whole world or lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his works. Verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death, till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And after 6 days Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother, and bringeth them up into an high mountain apart, and he was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias talking with him. Then answered Peter and said unto Jesus, Lord, it is good for us to be here. If thou wilt, let us make here 3 tabernacles, one for thee, one for Moses, and one for Elias. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them, and behold, a voice out of the cloud which said, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. And when the disciples heard it, they fell on their face and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, Arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man save Jesus only. And as they came down from the mountain, Jesus charged them, saying, Tell the vision to no man until the Son of Man be risen again from the dead. And his disciples asked him, saying, Why then say the scribes that Elias must first come? And Jesus answered and said unto them, Elias truly shall first come and restore all things. But I say unto you that Elias is come already. And they knew him not, but have done unto him whatsoever they listed, likewise also shall the Son of Man suffer of them. Then the disciples understood that he spake unto them of John the Baptist. And then we continue with 2 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 16. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory, This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. And this voice which came from heaven we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well to take heed, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the Scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we do indeed thank you for this, your word. We are thankful for the transfiguration. Help us to see. Help us to see. Sanctify us in the truth. Your word is truth. For Jesus' name's sake, amen. Now you're going to think that I'm losing it a little bit, and that's okay, because I probably am. But we're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing at the end of this service. You're going to think that's crazy. You know, didn't we just get done singing that? And I hope that you're a little better Methodist than that, because you recognize very clearly that this hymn and what we sing is all really focused on the sense of the transfiguration. It's coming to understand the ramifications of what it meant when Jesus revealed himself in this way, that we would realize what he had done. And Julia Ward Howe, when she wrote that great poem that was put into a hymn form that we sang, brought this out very clearly in the third verse of that hymn to indicate very clearly, in the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. And this is really where we come to the sense of the understanding of the transfiguration. You see, they couldn't understand this. They couldn't realize what was going on. And people are still just messing this up left and right. They don't understand the nature of the coming of the kingdom of God and what that truly means. You see, and that's why you begin this text with St. Peter. And that's why there's no chapters and verses in the scripture. Ignore them. The scripture wasn't written with chapters and verses. They ruin everything. The story of St. Peter is to indicate this fact. Peter is always us. We need to understand Peter is always us. And as much as Peter came to understand who Jesus was, that he was the Son of God, Peter nonetheless couldn't understand that Jesus was here to suffer and die, that Jesus was going to do this. And we would do the same thing. Jesus tries to tell them, I've got to go and suffer and die. Peter, being the wonderful man that he is, turns around simply and says, may God be gracious to you, Lord. That's what this word actually means in Greek. May God be gracious to you, Lord. Certainly not to you will be this thing. You're not going to go suffer and die. And then we make this awful thing of this, like Jesus was calling Peter the devil or something like that. That's not what he says. He says to get behind him. He says, you can't be in front of me. He says, don't get out in front of me. He says, you need to be behind me. And he says, because if you get in front of me, then you're Satan, your adversary. And that's all that word means. You're acting as an adversary to me. If you get out in front of me and start telling me that I can't do this, that I have to do, he says, then you're acting wrongly. You're acting on the other side of me. He says, you can't do that. He says, you have to come after me. That's why he tells Peter, you don't understand what you're saying. You're not thinking the way that God thinks. You're thinking the way you think. And that's why he follows this up. Same Greek word. Same Greek word. It says, and Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants after me to come, if anyone wants to be behind me, this is not some terrible thing that Jesus said to St. Peter. He's just simply saying, you need to understand, if you're going to live in this world appropriately, what you need to do is follow me. Don't get out in front of me. Don't get out in front of me. I'm here to do the purpose that I have to achieve. Don't get out in front of me. Just stay behind me. What he's saying to St. Peter is, I have all of this covered. I have it all taken care of. He says, and you need to understand that I do. So you need to understand my cross and take it up yourself and follow me. He says, because if you try to preserve your life, if you try to get out in front of me, he says, you're going to lose it. He says, if you give it up, if you come behind me, he says, then actually you're going to find it. He says, because you show me what benefit is it if a person gains the whole world and loses their life. And what will a person give in exchange for that life? And then he says this great thing, which we ignore because we turn around and we say, well, we got a chapter break. He says, for it is about the Son of Man to come in the majesty of his Father with his angels. Then he will repay each person according to his works. With certainty, I'm telling you that there are some people who are standing here, such ones who will certainly not experience death until they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. So after 6 days, takes along Jesus, Peter, James, and John, his brother, brings him up to a high mountain alone, and he was visibly changed right in front of them. In other words, he manifested the kingdom to them, exactly what he said. There's no chapter break here. He showed them who he was so that they would understand, like St. Peter. St. Peter is right there. He shows him, St. Peter, don't get out in front of me. I'm honestly God. You don't have to invoke the grace of God to try to protect me. He says, I'm in good shape. I am God. And understand very clearly. He says, this is who I am. And it says that Moses and Elijah appeared there to represent the law and the prophets. So they appeared with him. And Peter, who's always us, he's just the greatest. Peter says, let's build a shrine. Let's sell t-shirts. You know, we can sell bottles of water from here. We can do all kinds of stuff. Let's just build a shrine. You know, we'll build one for you. We'll build one for Moses. We'll build one for Elijah. We'll do all these sorts of things so that we can commemorate this holy event. And he didn't understand. Just like we don't understand. God had just appeared in the fullness of his kingdom. God was showing himself to be exactly who he is, incarnate. That's why you're going to sing Hark the Herald Angels Sing. Because Charles Wesley understood that. The hymn you just sang. Charles Wesley understood that. We need to constantly be aware of this fact that the kingdom of God is with us. Just because we don't see it doesn't mean it's not with us. Just because we don't witness the transfiguration doesn't mean that we're not transfigured. This is exactly what Jesus is trying to show to them. I'm God. He says, I'm present with you. He says, you don't really need tabernacles. And that's why God shows up and says, no, you don't build a shrine. You don't need to build a shrine. He says, what I want you to understand is, and the voice comes out from heaven. And of course, there's probably nothing more frightening than that. You know, you see a cloud show up that obscures the presence of the sight of the Father from you. A voice comes out and it says simply this thing. This is my Son, the Beloved One, with whom I am very pleased. And he says, listen to him. Listen to him. That's the hardest thing that we have to do. In our world, we don't learn to listen. We flap our jaws so much, we can't wait till it's our next turn to talk. You read anybody that deals with communication all the time, that's how we talk, that's how we listen to people. We're listening for the next time that we can talk. We've learned not to listen. The instruction that God gave is so significant to this point, where God simply says, I'm telling you, this is my son. This is my son. The kingdom is being manifested to you in the fullness of its glory. It's not ever going to be any greater. Listen to him. Listen to him. And you recognize right as soon as God did that, Moses and Elijah are gone because they're just representing the law and the prophets. They're not the Son of God. Moses and Elijah are gone. And the disciples are down facing the dirt, you know, because here's the presence of God, but they don't understand the presence of God has been with them the whole time. Just because they didn't see it doesn't mean that it wasn't there. And the disciples were afraid. And that's precisely the point of all of this, is fear. What happens to us is when we don't listen, we're afraid. We live in fear. And right now, everybody's feeding us with fear. Feeding us fear all the time. Feeding us fear. Who knows what Putin is going to do? Who knows how this is going to happen? You listen to the news and they tell you, well, he could go this way. The news tells you he could go that way. He could do this thing. He could do that thing. What do they know? Nothing. 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 They know nothing, nothing, diddly squat, zero, nothing, nothing. And yet you listen to people and they're filled with fear, filled with fear. When the last thing we should be afraid of is fear, what we need to have is compassion. The heart of God is not a heart of fear. It's a heart of compassion. It is a heart that doesn't fear humankind, but comes to it in its fullness so that Jesus, the Son of the living God, with his disciples cowering in fear, touches them. He touches them. God touches them so that they'd understand God isn't some distant entity. God is with them. God touches them. And what does he say? The Father told him, "This is my son. Listen to him." What does he say? Stop being afraid. He says, "Get up. Get up and stop being afraid." And when they looked up, they saw no one, just Jesus. They only saw Jesus. This is the point of the transfiguration, the glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. It is to understand very clearly what we are to see in this world and what we are to know is Jesus. What we are to see and understand is by the incarnation of the Son of the living God that he is a present reality constantly with us. That now we would understand and we would realize that never is God distant from us. Never is he far. And as a matter of fact, he is not seeking to make us afraid, but rather he is trying to say to us, get up, and stop being afraid. Don't let people make you afraid. Instead, have compassion. And you understand, this is why you don't stop this here. As he goes on, he's coming down the mountain, he says, don't tell anybody about this. And of course, what he means by this is don't tell them because they're not going to understand this. He says, until I'm risen from the dead, don't tell anybody about this. They're not going to get it. And the disciples immediately show Jesus that they didn't get it either. The first thing they say to him is, then why do the law scholars say Elijah has to come first? And you understand, this is exactly what people are doing with what's going on in the world. Now they're trying to figure out how to tell you how the world's going to end. Now all of a sudden they're telling you, now we're on the verge of this. Now we're going to do this. What a crock. The reality of things is the disciples turn around to Jesus and say, well, Elijah has to come first, doesn't he? You know, in some way, shape, or form, they're trying to tell God how the world's going to end and how the order has to be. And Jesus simply says to them, Elijah is coming first and will restore all things. And I'm telling you, he already came. So all these people that are writing all these books about Elijah coming, I hate to tell you, he already came. Jesus says very clearly, he already came. And they didn't recognize him. They didn't recognize him. And that's exactly what's going on in our world and even amongst us. We don't recognize it. We just don't recognize it. We don't understand because we don't listen. We're so fearful of everything. We're so afraid that we don't listen. We don't hear. And Jesus said they did to him whatever they wanted, because they didn't even recognize who he was. And he says, and that's why they're going to do to me what they're going to do. Which brings us all the way back to the conversation with St. Peter. He says very clearly, you see, you don't understand this, do you, Peter? You don't understand this because you don't listen. You're not able to hear what I'm saying to you. He says, this is exactly what has to happen. This is the coming of the kingdom. This is what I want you to realize. This is the coming of the kingdom. And it says, then understood the disciples that Jesus was speaking to them about John the Baptizer. He's Elijah, and he has already come. And the Son of God has already appeared, and he has come in the fullness of his kingdom, and he has achieved his purpose. That's exactly what he was saying to the disciples. He says, there's some of you who aren't going to be dead. You're not going to die before you see the kingdom come. He says, after 6 days, he takes Peter, James, and John, and he shows them the kingdom. The kingdom has not retreated. It has not left us. The kingdom of God, as a matter of fact, is very, very sure and reliable. As a matter of fact, his presence is given to us. And that's why we read St. Peter. Isn't it funny? St. Peter says this. St. Peter, the guy who's over there that we just talked about. Same St. Peter. Same St. Peter. He writes and says, he says, we haven't followed any of this foolishness. He says, we don't follow anybody's garbage. Says, we don't follow any of that stuff. He says, when we talk to you, he says, we talk to you about what we actually saw. He says, we were the eyewitnesses of the majesty of Jesus. And he says, For he received from God the Father honor and glory. He says, when the voice came and said, this is my son. He says, and I'm very well pleased in him. And Peter says, and the voice we heard. We heard it. Now you understand what he said. This is my son, listen to him. He says, we heard. He says, we heard. And he says, but we have. And this reads a more sure word of prophecy. What it actually says is we have a very reliable form of prophecy, because you aren't going to get a more sure word than hearing God talk to you directly. You know, he says, we have a very, very powerful, very reliable understanding of God. He says, that you would do well to take heed to. He says, that you'd do well to listen to. He says, like a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the day star arises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. He says, it's not secret. So it's not some hidden esoteric message. It's very clearly known. All that needs to be done is to read it. And that? No, you can't be kidding. You gotta be kidding me. All I need to do is read this guy's stuff, or listen to this stuff, or read this sermon over here, or do this sort of thing like that. You can't be serious to just read this thing. Honestly, I mean, that's just so mundane. Get with it. You got to have something. You got to have a TikTok video. You got to have something. You got to have something to dress this up. You got to make this better somehow. St. Peter says, this is not some hidden secret. It's just as easy as pie. It's directly given. And he says, because this prophecy did not come because human beings wanted it to be here. He says, it came because holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And now you understand what St. Paul was talking about in our scripture reading today, the 2 Corinthians. He says, for the Lord is that Spirit. And where the Spirit is, the veil is removed. He says, the veil is removed. We have got to learn to listen. Listening is the key to understand what we sing. We come to church and we sing these words. We sing these things. We sing about them. And then we spend almost all of our time undoing them, because they are to bring us to peace. They are to show us the gracious God who in his goodness and his grace saw to it to bear in his Son the sin of the world, and to say very clearly that that sin would never be imputed to us. That through the blood of Jesus Christ we would be reconciled to God. And the grace of God would keep us from all transgression and free us from the wrath of God, so that we would understand day in and day out, even as we face the news or we face whatever we face, nothing can separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. There is not a call to fear within the Bible. There is a call to compassion. There is a call to response to the calling of God. There is a call to understand what the grace of God means in this world, because it means that now, by God's grace, we can live. We can live in freedom. We can live in the power of the Spirit. We live unveiled. We don't have to have our face hidden so that people can't see that the glory of God in us is fading, because we're not like Moses. We didn't get a temporary glory. We got the full thing, and it can't be diminished. There isn't a thing that can diminish that glory in you. There isn't a thing that can take it away from you. There isn't a thing on the face of this earth that can do anything to change what God has finished through the blood of Jesus Christ and what he has ensured when he says that he is not imputing our trespasses unto us. Because that, you see, is what follows after that part in 2 Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians 5. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them. Not imputing trespasses. Do you understand what that means? Because most of the time we don't. Not. You understand what not means, right? Not. You got that word? Not. Not. Imputing their trespasses unto them. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. Not. Not. Imputing their trespasses unto them. So why in God's name do we keep trying to bring them back? And wind up being robbed of our peace, that somehow God is out to get us still. I don't know. You know, I don't really know about this stuff. I don't really know. Is it really true? It's the only thing that's true. It's the only thing that's true. You are cleansed from your sin. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. You are pure and holy in his sight. You have been transfigured in the glory of the living Son of God. And the glory is in you. You have become a partaker of his glory. Just like St. Peter says. St. Peter, the guy who asks all the wrong questions. The same St. Peter later. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon us. And the Spirit of the Lord is with us constantly. And the Spirit of the Lord enables us to approach God unveiled, and to see. And it's time that we see. And it's time that we hear. And it's time that we learn to listen. The children of the Ukraine are crying. They're crying. Because of the suffering of a blinded world that has grown callous in its self-interest. And the only remedy is the compassion of the people of God. The only remedy for undoing the evil in this world is the love and the mercy of God through Jesus Christ, his Son, who is present with us by the Holy Spirit, who enables us to transcend every other thing and to see and to hear the voice of God and to be moved with a compassion that cannot be diminished in the face of wickedness, that rejects the fear of self-interest, and by God's grace is molded into the image of God's only begotten Son. What we need is not another politician and not another political remedy. We need the grace of God. We need the compassionate heart of God. Hark the herald angels sing. See, that was the whole point of Christmas. Is to understand that God was now with us. This is the message that needs to go throughout Christianity. We need to be restored. I don't know if you got a chance to listen to the Pope's message on Christmas Eve, but you should. This is all that we need. We need to be restored to the grace of God. We need to come to this point of understanding and realizing as the people of God, as the church of God, as the people who go into the world with this name of Jesus Christ, that we need to engage the world as Christians. That the grace of God that has been so abundantly manifested to us, that we would learn to manifest in our world. Because the world is dying in its self-indulgence. It's dying in its TikTok videos. It's dying in the fact that it can make its own podcasts. It's dying in this. It's killing itself. Ned Postman said years ago, it's amusing itself to death. And we need to be awakened. We need to start hearing. Because the children of the Ukraine are just the beginning. And if we are not careful, it will soon be our own. We need to realize who we are. We are transfigured in the glory of God. And the world needs to know the grace and the peace and the mercy of God. Because this is the meaning of the transfiguration. The kingdom is with us. It is not distant. It is constantly always present. And the fullness of the glory of God transfigures us. And transfigured in that glory, we face the world every day, not cowering in fear, but filled with the love and mercy of God. Shine the light into the world, one person at a time. That glory would be seen and experienced. That the peace of God, which passes all understanding, would keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. And we would see no one but Jesus only. For Jesus' sake, amen. Let us pray. most gracious and almighty God, you transfigured us together with your Son. You made us to be this image of brightness, in goodness, in holiness. And Father, the world would lie and diminish that for us. But Father, we need not listen to the world. We need listen to your Son. And we need see nothing and no one but Jesus only. And we need be brought to that most holy oracle of your sacred word to hear and to know that truth, that Father, that the cries of the children of the Ukraine would come into our ears, and we would be found in prayer, and we would be found as your people doing whatever we can in order to alleviate their suffering. And Father, that the cries of the people of Russia and the cries of the people of China and the cries of the people throughout this world would be heard by us. For we, Father, we have the remedy in the blood of Jesus Christ, and we have the hope, and we have the message of peace. Father, we pray that you would so equip us to be found doing whatever you give us to do, that we might have your heart of compassion. Minister your grace, Father, as we have so abundantly received it, to minister the same. That in every way, Father, on this day, as we celebrate the transfiguration of your Son, and every day, Father, your name would be hallowed and glorified in and through us. For Jesus' name's sake. Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, the communion and fellowship of his Holy Spirit be with us all, now and forever. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.